G.K. Chesterton, who in the 1890s was an agnostic, became an Anglican in around the year 1907, 1908, and then converted to Catholicism in 1922, was one of the people most significant also in the conversion of C.S. Lewis, who in 1929 read Chesterton's book, The Everlasting Man, and this had a profound effect on C.S. Lewis's life. When Chesterton was describing his own conversion to Catholicism, he described it in the following way. When a man is at that point of being converted to the Catholic truth, that he comes so close to the truth that the truth is like a magnet with powers of attraction and repulsion. Think about that for a minute. A magnet that has the powers of attraction and the powers of repulsion. And indeed, that seems to be the way in which people respond to the Catholic Church. They're repulsed by it, or they are drawn to her. Chesterton goes on to say, the moment men cease to pull against it, they feel a tug towards it. The moment they cease to shout it down, they begin to listen to it with pleasure. The moment they try to be fair to it, they begin to be fond of it. But when that affection has passed a certain point, it begins to take on the grandeur of a great love affair. Isn't that great language? That it takes on the grandeur of a great love affair. Most of you know, but not all of you know, that I'm a convert from Anglicanism. And at the heart of my conversion was the text that we had from today's gospel, Matthew chapter 16. And I could say that in my life, this has truly been the case, that the Catholic Church has drawn me. It's been a powerful magnet, and I have fallen in love with Jesus in a deeper way because of his one holy Catholic and apostolic church. And it's my hope and my prayer that this is your experience as well, that you are discovering how the Catholic Church has this magnetic power to draw you to herself. And when we think about the word church, there are two descriptions of this word that I want to share with you. The closest sort of etymology to the word church is a Greek word, kyriakon. And the word kyriakon means belonging to the Lord. That's what it is to be in the church. But the word that we see most often in the New Testament is the word ekklesia, which comes from two words, kaleo, which means to call, and ek, which means to be called out from. So the word ekklesia means to be called out from the world. And so think about these two words, kyriakon, to belong to the Lord. And people who know what it is to be drawn out from the world, to be called by Jesus, come to more deeply know in their own heart that they belong to him. And indeed, this is exactly what happened to St. Peter. One whom Jesus called. And here we are at the very place, on the very lake, where Jesus said to Peter, come, follow me. Come to a new way of being, a new way to live your life. And as we think of that amazing gospel, we could see how Jesus came with Peter and the apostles to a place about 100 kilometers north of here, Caesarea Philippi. And what makes Caesarea Philippi so meaning are a couple of things. It was also a place where the pagan god Pan was worshipped. And so it was a place of idolatry. And in this place, Jesus asks the apostles, who do people say that I am? Who do you say that I am? And it's a place where people worshipped a multiplicity of gods, that Peter had the clarity to say, I know who you truly are. But here's the other thing that is amazing about Caesarea Philippi. Around the year 20 BC, King Herod, who had a lot of enemies and not a lot of friends, took to heart the Arab proverb, make friends where you can. And the friend that he wanted to make was Caesar Augustus, who had been visiting that part of the empire. And so what Herod thought he would do is build a temple called an Augustinium to the emperor. And it was built on the top of a rocky cliff. And it's while Jesus and the apostles are in Caesarea Philippi that Jesus looks up to this temple, to Caesar Augustus, and says, I'm going to build another temple. Not one that's built on a literal rock, but one, Peter, that will be built on you, who are the rock on which the church will indeed be founded. And of course, the reason that Jesus does this is because of what Peter had said to him. You are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. Now, you need to know that the emperors were also called sons of God. And Peter saw clearly that Caesar ain't it. It's Jesus who is the true Son of God. And this is what happens in Peter's life. This is what happens in the life of every person who comes to see that Jesus is the true Son of God. Their lives are changed in a way that they will never be the same again, because they have been drawn by that magnet that is Jesus Christ, that magnet that is his one holy Catholic and apostolic church. And as that occurs in their lives, we come to discover something else, that the gates of Hades will never be able to prevail against the church. Now, look all around us. We see the ravages of what war and the story of history has done. But look where we are, and look what's below us, the home of St. Peter. That in a world like this, it's always going to be up and down. That the headlines are always going to try to unsettle us. That the world is going to try to bring us to a point of saying, don't believe in a God in a world like this. But not for us as Catholics. Because we understand the truth that the gates of Hades would not be able to prevail against the church, that we are here today. Now, Hades isn't so much hell as it is the place of the underworld, the place of the dead. It's a place of deception, a place of decay. And in the Jerusalem temple, they understood that the cornerstone of the temple was built over the gateway to Hades. And that the Jewish people understood that the temple was the cosmos. It represented the universe. And what Jesus was saying is now it's not going to be in Caesarea Philippi on the top of a mountain. It's not even going to be the Jerusalem temple. It is going to be on this rock, which is Peter the church, that I will indeed continue to fulfill my purpose. And so here we are 2,000 years later, and we are invited more and more into this place of being able to celebrate the gift of what it is to be God's one holy Catholic and apostolic church. In that reading that we had from Ezekiel, the prophet envisioned a day when there would be one king, that there would be one people. And what would characterize their lives was a desire for holiness. And that, beloved, is what this pilgrimage is all about. That for each one of us to have our hearts changed, as G.K. Chesterton's heart was changed, to have our minds renewed, as was Chesterton's, so that we can be the kind of people who are living our lives as St. Peter spoke about in that reading from his first letter. I find it so touching to think that one of the things Peter says of those who are called to be priests is that they are to tend the flock of God. It's just over here on this lake that we read in John 21 that when Jesus restored St. Peter, he used that exact same verb, tend my lambs. And so let me tell you what a privilege it is to be a priest in the one holy Catholic Church of God. Because what Father Jerome and I, Deacon Troy, soon we hope to be Father Troy, which is going to be a wonderful day indeed, is that we are to help you as we ourselves grow more fully in love with Jesus. So that as we tend to the flock of God, as we truly care for you, as those who have been entrusted to us, what a privilege that is. Beloved family of God, that you've been entrusted in a special way to our care, so that together we can walk through this crazy world with all the signs of conquest, all of the signs of what seems like the world's victory, but know that in the end, the one who is victorious is never Augustus Caesar. It is always King Jesus, and those who with him are learning the way of humility, the way of simplicity. And so as we continue on our pilgrimage, and as we head towards Jerusalem, where in a particular way we will witness to the sufferings of Christ, may we also anticipate what it means that one day we will too share in the glory that is to be revealed to us. We thank St. Peter for his faithfulness, for his prayers. We thank him that we have been called here and that we are part of the rock, the church, which is that family that has been called out of the world to belong to God and to be part of a love affair that will go on for eternity. St. Peter, pray for us.